Let your requests be made known to God. Then he goes on to say, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I don't know about you, I've had those moments in the middle of the night. Amen. When I'm laying up, can't sleep, troubled. Get up and pray and just talk to God. And the situation hadn't changed. Same situation is there, but the change is that I have peace. And I can go on to sleep. We have so many great blessings being a children of God. And just thank you, Brother Bonds, for the beautiful way which you led the song service tonight, the beautiful way in which all of you have participated in the song service, a beautiful prayer by young Brother Bonds. And just appreciate him and all of our young men. And just so thankful for what we've experienced in the worship service tonight. It's been a wonderful day in the Lord. And thank again Brother Gibbs for the wonderful exhortation he gave to us this morning about being individuals that need to be good stewards. And certainly as God has blessed us with so much, it's very important for us to be good stewards and to recognize that everything we have is from God. And so we just thank him for the beautiful lesson tonight, this morning. I want to ask you to turn in your Bibles to the book of John, John chapter 8. Now I'm going to make a slight departure from our theme tonight. My lesson is not going to be a lesson that directly involves a parable. But Jesus, on many occasions, used specific words to describe himself. He used parables to describe life and many life events that were of significance. But Jesus also utilized words and phrases about himself, which I believe are also significant. The Bible says in John chapter 8, and looking down to verse number 12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now I want to use as a topic tonight, unlimited light. Unlimited light. I love the light. I liked, was it last week that we got an extra hour of sleep? But I don't like that it's, look out there and it's dark already. I love the light. I love the morning, getting up and watching the sunrise. There's something beautiful about the light. And Jesus declares that I am the light of the world. But Jesus also makes several other declarations about himself. Jesus says that I am the bread of life. When we look at him in John chapter 6 and verse number 48, he declares the fact that I am the bread of life. And he was even challenged on this particular point. If we look a little bit higher in the chapter, in verse number 32, or back to verse number 30, the Bible said, they said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Then they said in verse number 31, our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. But then Jesus, look at his response. He said, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth light unto the world. That manna was bread in one respect, but the true bread is what you have before you at this time. So he said, I am the bread of life. Then he went on to say in John chapter 10 and verse number 9, he said, I am the door. When he was talking about I am the door, he was using it within the context or using the metaphor of the shepherd or the sheepfold, the door of the sheepfold. Look at what he said in verse number 1. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you that he that entereth not by the door of the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Jesus was simply talking about there were times during this time that there were those that would come into the sheepfold and illegally take sheep. But he said, listen, I am the door. I am the access. And I'm talking about access to your salvation. We see it again when we look at verse number 9. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and he shall go in and out and find pasture. I am the door. Then he went on to say, I am the good shepherd, in verse number 11. The good shepherd giveth life for the sheep. He is the good shepherd, and you can't do any better than a shepherd that would lay down his life for the sheep. He is a good shepherd. Then he says, I am the resurrection and the life. In John chapter 11 and verse number 25, he said, I am the resurrection and the life, and he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. He's saying here, I'm going to give you hope in this life, and I'm also going to give you hope in the life to come. I'm the resurrection and the life. Then it says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. In John chapter 14, and looking at verse number 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And Jesus is essentially saying here that apart from me, there is no solution for sin. I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the light. And as I look at Jesus here, he didn't say, I am a selection of bread, or I am a door, or I am a shepherd, or I am a resurrection, or I am a possible way, or I am some other possibility. He said, I am the. I'm the bread of life. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection. I am the way, the truth, and the light. Jesus places exclusivity on who he is as a savior. He said, I am the. And tonight I want to focus on, again, what he says in John chapter 8 and verse number 12, when he says again, I am the light of the world. And he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of light. Jesus, as he makes this particular statement, as he talks about light, he makes this particular statement in the temple. And he makes this particular statement in a certain part of the temple. If you look, notice down to John chapter 8 in verse number 20. The Bible said these words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple. And no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. This part of the temple was a part called the treasury, but it was also a part called the court of women. It was a place for the treasury, but it was also the court of women. And history would tell us that there were containers there where the individuals could come and leave their offering here in this particular court. And it was the court of women and a court that was within earshot of the Sanhedrin, which when we look at this particular story and we remember how that there was a woman that was bought to Jesus who was caught in the very act of adultery. In John chapter 8, looking at verse number 1 through 11, she was could have been an easy access to bring her to the court of women where Jesus was teaching. But what we find about this place as well, this court of women or this court of the treasury, as I looked at some history about it, it said that there were two colossal lampstands in this court. And in those two colossal lampstands, it was filled with a multitude of lamps that were lighted every evening for possibly the Feast of Tabernacles. It must have been a beautiful sight, and it must have been an eye-catching sight, and it must have been burning very brightly for everyone to see. And Jesus used this occasion, as he would often do, to make a lesson about himself. He possibly pointed to it and said, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but you shall have the light of life." This is brightly burning as this light is, as effective as it is in canceling out darkness. I am the light of life. And I am that one that has come to fight against darkness. I'm the one that's come to counteract darkness. And when we think about darkness, the symbolism of darkness, darkness is used to symbolically illustrate distress and mourning, even perplexity and ignorance and even death. People wear black when they are in mourning. You look at me, look like I've been to a funeral today, doesn't it? But that's what darkness is. But it's also used figuratively to talk about moral depravity, the darkness that is contained in the minds of men. Darkness talks to those things that are wrong, those things that are improper, those things that are unnatural, those things that are destructive, those things that are against the will of God, those things that can cause a person to lose their soul. When we think about darkness, John wrote in John chapter 3 and looking down to verse number 9, talking about this idea of darkness. Darkness is something that we all deal with and something that we all have an opportunity to deal with from a standpoint of our lives and our experience. John chapter 3 and verse number 19, the Bible said, "And this is the condemnation." He said that what? Light is coming to the world. John chapter 3 and verse number 19. I may have said 9 at the beginning. John chapter 3 and verse number 19. "And this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men loved what? Darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." You know, people love to do dark things in the dark. You don't go to a club. Not that I've been to a club. You don't go to a club and it's all lit brightly with bright digital lighting. Well, you can look all the way in the back, oh, that's so-and-so. The club is always dark. People, when they get ready to do things and go places, they want to wait till it's dark. People feel a sense of security in doing things that are wrong as they do it in the dark. Darkness dominates the mindset of individuals. And if we're not careful as members of the body of Christ, with all the darkness that is around us, it can become very easy to be caught up and to be overcome with the darkness that surrounds us. When I think about this idea of darkness, Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 11, he said, and have no fellowship. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. He said, but rather reprove them. Don't even have an enjoyment of watching things and talking about things that people would ordinarily do in the dark. He said, we ought to instead reprove them. And look what he says in verse number 12. He said, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. People think when they do things in the dark, they're doing it in secret. But everything, I know my actions are seen by God, and I know my actions are seen by God because he already knows what my thoughts are. Darkness. And you know, the reality of darkness is all around us. In this world, such things as terrorism, when a person will strap a bomb to their body and walk into a city square and kill a number of people and somehow be convinced that what they're about to do is for a higher purpose, that's darkness. It's darkness. When we look around and see wars that are taking place, many wars come about as a result of darkness. When we look around and see actions of oppression, racism, it's darkness. Sexual abuse, acts of greed, people in high places that take advantage of people in lower places. It's darkness. When we look at the media around us, and when you cut on the television and you can't sit down and watch a television show without hearing choice words or seeing questionable acts and seeing all sorts of things around us, and if we don't mind ourselves, we can become easily desensitized to the things that are going on around us. It's darkness. Experiences in life. Paul spent a lot of time talking about adultery, fornication, and he wasn't talking about it to the world. He was talking about it within the church. Darkness. All sorts of false religions. Men explaining and expounding things that have never been written or authorized by Scripture. Darkness. As we look around, this world is engulfed in darkness. And I think it's very important for us to understand, church, that we've got to be sober. We've got to be mindful at all times. Because darkness has a way of coming in and closing in on the soul of an individual. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4 and down to verse number 17, he said, I say therefore, and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. And look at what he says here, in the vanity of their mind. You know, when I become so vain that no one can tell me anything, and when I become so vain that I become hardened to any correction or hardened to any sense of wrong, there are a group of people that exist on this earth that feel that nothing is wrong. Nothing that I do with my body physically is wrong. Nothing that I say is wrong. No activity that I involve myself in is wrong. They feel that you set the moral agenda within you. That's vanity of the mind. Look at what it says. Having the understanding, here it is again, darkened. Being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is within them because of the blindness of their heart. When I don't want to live my life in light or follow light, it's like a person that is trying to get somewhere, but they're blind. If I don't want to have or expose myself to light, it's just like me being someone who is blind and I can't get there. I might as well be walking in total darkness because I'm blinded by my own thoughts, my own emotions, my own feelings, my own convictions. And look at what it says in verse number 19. And this is a dangerous place to be. Who, being past feeling. You know, years ago, my grandfather was a straight-up cowboy, Craig Worthy. My brother has his name. And years ago, he took me way out in the woods to a bunch of cattle that he had. And he had a brand that had a W for the Worthy name. And he took that brand and he put it in the fire. Then he took that brand and to the side of the cow. The cow jumped for a little bit. Then he put some sort of medicine on him and sent him on his way, one by one. We came back a week later, and I touched the brand. And it's just about as hard as this. He felt it the first time. But we came back, it was past feeling. And that's the way it is. When we allow darkness to infiltrate our lives, we can come to a point that we are past feeling. And I don't believe it comes overnight. I don't think I just look up and say, if my feelings or my darkness causes me to leave the church, I don't think it happens overnight where I just up and say, you know, I'm leaving the church. I think it slowly happens, slowly erodes. And I can come to a point where I look up one day and without warning, without announcement, my heart is darkened. My understanding is darkened. And I'm now gone past feeling. And what I believe is very important for all of us to realize that I do not need to look at myself as being exempt. No matter where I am in the Lord's church, I cannot look at myself as being exempt from ever arriving at a place such as this. There's a reason that this scripture has been made available to us. But this is all darkness. But as we look at darkness, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. Jesus gives several examples, again, in the book of John about him being the light of the world. And I think several of them are worth us looking at and worth us considering as we consider this idea of endless light. In John chapter 1, and looking down to verse number 4, the Bible said, in him was life, and the life of the light was the light of men. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. In a world full of darkness, darkness because of sin and darkness because of iniquity, but also darkness because of no hope, Jesus came to this earth to bring about light. And look at what it said. The Bible said, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. Those that were in darkness, they didn't want to accept that he was the Son of God. They didn't comprehend, well, I see what I see, but I don't think that's the light. Darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, also to bear of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. And that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. This light is available to every man. This light brought hope to every individual. You can't light up a room and some people get the light and some people don't. When Jesus came to this world, his light was made available to everyone. He's a true light. But the world didn't accept it. You know what? I think there's a side lesson for that. As we walk in light, we can't expect everyone to accept us. In a world of darkness, just like the world did not comprehend him, they didn't understand him, they didn't embrace him, they did not want to accept him. When we truly strive to live our lives within the manifest of light, don't expect everyone to roll out a red carpet for you. In this world that is full of darkness, we're going to have to be individuals who are constrained, who have within in our mind a hope and a desire, an unrestrained desire, that in the midst of darkness, I'm going to shine as a light. You know what I think about Jesus? Jesus, as he described himself as the light, the light. When we look at him, in Matthew chapter 5, and looking at verse number 14, Jesus then ascribes the light to you and I. Look what he said, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. I declare that I am the light, but I'm also declaring you are the light. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. As we leave here tonight and we go into a dark world, maybe it's a dark situation on your job. Maybe it's a dark situation, young people at school. Maybe there's some other places where there's some savory talk going on or some savory things that are taking place. Don't shrink from who you are and who you have been determined to be. Jesus said, I'm declaring you to be the light. I declare that I am the light of the world, but I want you to know that you are the light of the world as well. I need to, in the midst of a dark world, be willing to let my light shine. And not only let it shine, look what the text said. I know we've read this hundreds of times, but I just think it's very important for us to go back and relook at some time. He said, let your light so shine. Don't be a dull bulb. Had a light in the kitchen at home, and it was just kind of flickering. You go in and you stand under it, and you're in there trying to cook, and it flickers, then it go off. Then it flicker again, then it shine brightly, and then by the time you get going, doing some things, then all of a sudden go off again. No. Wife said, you need to change that bulb. And when I went and got another bulb and I changed it, not only did it shine brightly, the bulb beside it shined brightly as well. He said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. When we shine as lights in the midst of darkness, and I believe if there ever was a time that the Christian has a chance to shine, is right now. When we look and see all the disorder that's in the world needs to see authentic Christianity. The world needs to see people that truly live out what God has called us to be. The world needs to see and experience something refreshing that they're not seeing on a daily basis. And as Christians, we have the opportunity to give the world that vision by shining as lights, true lights, in the midst of a dark world. We think about this idea of light. John made the statement as well. Again, going back to John chapter 9, and talking about this idea of light. Jesus, as he talks about light, he talks about it from the standpoint of giving us examples that can help us to truly be lights that he has called us to be. And I want you to instead turn to John chapter 12 and verse number 35. John chapter 12 and verse number 35. Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the what? He said, lest darkness come upon you, for he that walketh in darkness knoweth not what? Whether he goeth. While you have light, he said, believe in the light. He said, that you may become the children of light. These things spake Jesus and departed and did hide himself from them. He said, walk while you have the light. Live like you're in light. Conduct yourselves as children of light. You know, about one of the ways that we're going to be individuals that live and walk in light, we got to abide in his word. Psalmist says in Psalms 119, 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet. And then he goes on to say, and it's a light unto my pathway. The word of God illuminates life for us. And I believe it's very important. And one of the benefits that we have as a Christian, when we have an illuminated view of life, when we can see life for what it really is, when we can see past the things that appear to be one thing but are really another thing, when we can look at life from the viewpoint of through the vision of Jesus Christ himself, that helps us to truly be individuals of light. It's like a guide. As we abide in the Word of God, it's going to help us. It's going to help us to live by the light, and it's going to help us to be a light. You know, there's so many other things that I could say tonight, but I think I've given you enough scriptures on light. Jesus is the light. We should seek the light. We should be a light. We should walk in the light. We should reflect light. We should love light. Endless light. Let us not ever be a people of darkness. There's too much darkness in the world already. We got to be children of light. I want to be someone, as I live my life, the path before me is clear, and the path before me has been set by what the Word of God has to say. Let's be careful. Let not any of us be engulfed in darkness. Just a little bit of light takes on any amount of darkness. I've been out in the country where it's pitch dark. Pitch dark. But then if someone pulls out a flashlight and cuts it on, you can see that light from what seems to be a mile away, because light will never be fully overcome by darkness. The light of this world, Jesus Christ, he's not going to be overcome by darkness, because he's already overcome death and the grave. We're not going to be overcome by darkness if we stay with what the Word of God has to say. We have a persistent hope. We have a persistent aim. We have a persistent goal that is not going to be consumed or overcome by darkness. Thank God for the endless light of Christ. Let us all continue to be lights. Hope you got something from the lesson tonight. If you're tonight and you're not a member of the Lord's church, we invite you to come and begin by giving your life to Christ. Hear the word of God, believe the same. Repent of your sins, confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Be buried in the watery grave of baptism. Arise to walk in the newness of life. It puts you in the Lord's church. And there you are commissioned to be a light. And continue to look to the light and no longer be controlled by the powers of darkness. We're not in this against one another. We're in this against the powers of darkness. We're not in a battle against our brother or sister. I'm not in a battle against my husband or wife. I'm in a battle against darkness. And every time, darkness will lose when it meets up with light. Here you are, a member of the Lord's church, and maybe you've not been living your life in a way that's pleasing and acceptable unto God. Don't let darkness creep into your life. It can come in. And as we talked about it, you can come to a point to where you go past feeling. Don't ever let your life go for one day in that direction. Come back into the light, and let's live as children of light. If there's anyone that has a need tonight, we ask you please come as we together stand and sing the song of encouragement.
417, 417. Walking in sun.